Welcome to the Top Podcast, chronicling the campaign of the Opportunities Party in the saga that is the 2020 general election.
Welcome to our live stream with Shai and Jeff. Kia ora.
So we should be there, but you've got us here instead. So thank you so much for joining us. And we will mostly speak to you during the breaks of this tonight, so you can enjoy both.
30 seconds from each leader. I want your pitch from the voters. Let's start off with you, James Shaw, the leader or co-leader of the Green Party.
As we respond to COVID-19, we can take action on climate change. We can protect nature, and we can make sure that everyone has what they need to live a life with dignity. The Green Party will work in partnership with Labor and make sure that we go further and faster as we meet the challenges that we face. If the Greens don't make it back in, we do run the risk that one party will have all the power. Our planet is running out of time. Think ahead. Party vote Green.
All right, just on 30 seconds, you're practiced at this. Now from the Māori Party co-leader, John Tamahere.
Oh, Aotearoa whānui, kia ora tātou. Te kai whakawā, tēnā rā koe, mō ngā kaimahi rangatira, kei te mihi nunui ki a koutou. So, Māori Party, unlike any party here, for this particular election, because of the unusual landscape, all we're seeking is the candidate vote, the electorate vote. And you can go fishing whānau, and you can go fishing with these people around me, but remember, the Labor Party Māori members are all on the list and they're all into Parliament already. And MMP stands for More Māori in Politics.
That's a nice place to wrap it up. Good work on the 30 seconds. Winston Peters,
Good
New
line,
Zealand
JT.
First Leader.
Well, for years we've defended vulnerable New Zealanders against economic and political extremes. With COVID and economic fear on everybody's mind, experience and common sense is needed in government now more than ever. We know that we're a rising underdog in this campaign, but far closer to influencing the next government than either the National or ACT Party. For most New Zealanders, we're the best bet for stable government. So take out some insurance, use your second vote, and party vote New Zealand first.
Now ACT Leader David Seymour.
We'll stop Labor
doing
this.
Good evening. The consequences of COVID have been unimaginably hard for New Zealanders, but there's also an opportunity to rebuild a country we can all be proud of. That means confronting the new reality that this virus is not going anywhere and we must become smarter in the way we adapt. It also means being honest about the debt. Politicians must live within the same rules as everyone else. When money's tight, spend on necessities and cut out the waste. I'm asking you to give your party vote to ACT to elect a genuinely independent team to hold them all accountable.
Now, finally,
can't
from
rebuild
Jamie
country
Lee Ross
if you're cutting
from
things.
Advanced New Zealand.
Good evening, New Zealand. The Parliament needs a new voice and new representation in there. Advanced New Zealand will be the party that can do that. All of the people to the left of me will be part of a government or are part of a government that would continue with lockdowns in New Zealand, that would continue with closed borders, that will hurt New Zealanders more in the long term than the virus ever would. We need to learn to live with the virus as a country, and Advanced New Zealand has policies that would do that. We need new voices in the Parliament because we need to have a party there that will protect the rights and freedoms of New Zealanders, won't allow politicians to override that at will.
Because the economies
will do that
have,
good.
Have COVID are doing
well
so
done on
well, Jamie Lee.
Very appreciate keeping to time. So really interesting pictures there. And we'll wade into some more of that later in the debate.
At least
but first tonight I want to talk
COVID
about the latest
now,
One News Colmar Brunton poll that came in just an
still
hour ago.
By 5G,
let's
of
go
course.
Through the results. Labour is steady on 47. National dropped
yes,
1
to 32.
Yes, everyone
hopefully can see that
steady
we are
on
polling
8.
Better
the
than
Greens are on 6, down 1.
The Sun has been on 1.
On
there.
2, a bounce
so, yes,
from 1. The Opportunities Party get 2. The New Conservatives and Advanced New Zealand both on 1. On these
How
numbers, there would
too,
only be Labour, National, ACT and the
building
Greens
shy,
in
building.
Parliament.
It is.
And Labour would need the support from the Greens to govern. The Māori Party
the right
didn't
direction.
Register over 1% in this poll. So
they're the only alternative to the
numbers,
Greens to work with Labour, let's be honest.
On these numbers, Labour needs you. Do you now think you should have done a deal in Auckland Central so you'd be able to breathe a bit more easily?
No, we want to win Auckland Central on our merits, and Chloe is running an extraordinarily strong campaign there, and we're really proud of it.
I don't
do
you
know
think
why
you feel that
Greens
way, though, if
choice.
you're teetering around that 5%
the
at the moment, and if you're sitting not being able to go back into Parliament on October 17?
Look, we know that we need to get every possible vote that we can, that we tend to, on the day, not quite get what we poll at, and so we've got to get out the vote and make sure that everybody gives us their party vote. That is the one that will ensure that we cross the 5% threshold, that we are part of the next parliament and part of the next government.
All right, John Tumahedi, I want to be clear. Would you only work with Labor?
Labor know they can push them around.
So you will not be picking up the phone if Judith Collins comes ringing the day after the election?
No, and we stand a very good chance in a number of the Māori seats, solely because of the huge number of undecideds in our seven seats. And it's not the first time that the Māori Party or Māori members of Parliament have ensured that the Treasury benches are ruled.
And you're being so categorical this time because you were punished last election when after going with National.
Well, I wasn't there then, but the reality is we have to win our people's vote back on the street. We're the only liberated voice for Māori. I know all my other Māori colleagues and other parties have to go in to a caucus room and get voted down. We will never be.
All right, Mr. Peters, you are sitting on 2%. Why are you losing?
Well, what a fascinating question to ask.
Thank you, Mr. Peters.
A party like New Zealand First,
you've done it to me
over and over again, and we're going to defy your polls.
And I have heard.
We're more concerned about the people. Now, don't say, but you can't write them off. We've defied these polls over and over again, and on my information, we're in a great shape and a surge going on as we speak. I'm confident of that. The people out there will decide this election, not pollsters.
One thing that's not working out for you are those charges with the SFO. One person appeared in court today fighting the suppression for the New Zealand First Foundation. That's damaging for you, isn't it?
Look, we're not going to have trial by media or trial by the mob in this country. And out there are fair-minded New Zealanders who know that, for a start, every member of my party has been exonerated, and that they believe that you're innocent until being proven guilty. I've welcomed the Serious Force Office inquiry from day one, and I welcome its outcome. Let me tell you one thing. I've got rid of two former Serious Force leaders. Two, not one. And I'm not concerned about this at all in the remotest idea. I know the facts, and you can run your attack, and they can all attack me and New Zealand First. They did it in 2008. It was a lie. They were not going to get away with this time.
All right, David Seymour, I want to ask you about your spending. You want an austerity budget. You want to cut spending. Is that going to be a bottom line if you're in a position to negotiate with National?
Well, if you see ACT and National sitting down, one of the things ACT will be bringing to the table is that politicians do have to live within the same rules as everybody else.
So
every
will
business,
it be a bottom
every
line?
Business, every household. What it means
it's
is that we'll be
true.
A voice
the
on the table saying it's not fair
creates
on
money.
The next
it has
generation
its own bank.
To be saddled with the amount of debt there is. And I'm seeing more and more young parents.
I want to know about the bottom line.
Economic
are
lies,
you
David.
Well, it clearly
the
is a bottom line if that's the way you want to play it.
They don't even know that
because
they're
I see more and more people, young parents with prams and pushchairs, is coming to political meetings because they're worried about the future. They understand that there are people, young New Zealanders learning to walk right now, who will get a driver's license before this government balances
the
budget.
Jamie Lee Ross, you are facing fraud charges. You've been accused of bullying your staff. Do you have the right credentials to be a member of Parliament?
Yes, I was a whistleblower when it came to the National Party, Labor and National. I bought and sold by Chinese Communist Party linked money. I blew the whistle on it. I'd do it again. And innocent until proven guilty, by the way. Look,
something to agree with Mr. Peters on there, I guess.
Well, look, Advance New Zealand, we're on track to win the Tītai Takaurau seat. That will mean there will be representation there in the Parliament. And so Advance New Zealand does offer something new and different. It offers an ability to ensure we don't have a government that locks New Zealanders down anymore.
All right.
We need to open those borders.
I've got a few people shaking their heads over that one. We'll come to that a bit later on.
So.
But after the break, we're going to be talking about how we live with COVID-19. I've got a few curly questions coming up too, so stay with us.
Wow. Good work, Jessica, on really getting in there on the charges. Yes, actually, everyone, Jamie Lee Ross is currently before the courts as a defendant. In
so
our court
you
system
want
currently
on the end of that
because I learned it on D-Day.
It's not and so and New Zealand First of course also is well, New Zealand First, none of the MPs got charged, but someone associated with New Zealand First and the New Zealand First Foundation is also under charges.
That's exactly right. So the New Zealand First board created a separate entity to deal with all of their donations. So they don't have to comply with the rules. And here we are.
So really, it's just a loophole. They've created a loophole, an arm's length organisation that they can use to effectively launder money.
Well, that's effectively what it is. And I mean, let's just put it this way: if Top Tomorrow created our own top party entity and just funneled $2 million through that, we would be fine. We wouldn't get charged. The people that we put in charge of that would get in trouble and we'd be fine. And that is what Winston has done.
Yeah.
It's quite ridiculous.
And so, of course, the other big conversation there was, David Seymour talking about the government needing to live within its means. I mean, the government, for starters, the government is currently able to borrow at negative interest rates. So the private sector are willing to lend the government money and actually get less back. The government doesn't even have to pay it all back at the moment.
So debt's not the problem then?
Debt is not the problem. And even if the government couldn't borrow from the private sector, the government has its own bank. The Reserve Bank has printed $100 billion, to keep interest rates low. At the moment, they're buying the debt off the banks, but there's no reason that the Reserve Bank couldn't buy the debt straight off the government, cut out the middle person. So there's absolutely, the Reserve Bank is crying out for the government to spend more in order to keep inflation going, to keep the economy moving. The big risk with what David's talking about is that people will stop spending, everyone will cut back, and you'll start to see prices falling, and then that's when you get into a debt deflation spiral, which is what we saw in Greece. It's nightmare
scenario.
It's
so dangerous. So this huge wave of support that we've seen for ACT of late is just a bunch of people hanging off his every word, but his economic policies are dangerous for this country.
Oh, massively, massively dangerous. And, just go and look at what happened in Greece if you want to see what's likely to happen here if David Seymour, has any say in the next government. But let's be honest, that his support has come from the gun lobby and National fading away. So he's been effectively the voice of the opposition that National haven't been able to provide.
And that's what happens when you go through three leaders in an election year. Probably not so surprising.
No, that's right. Winston's struggling to keep a stiff upper lip there. He's, he looks on the ropes from the outset, doesn't he?
Oh, it's going to be a very interesting night. I'm looking forward to hearing what actual policy New Zealand First have, because when you hear their ads, when you hear them ever speak, it's just we're gonna stop the government do anything. That's not policy.
No.
And we're back.
They're a handbrake, that's it.
It's really crucial. David Seymour, I want to put this question to you first. You've been very critical of the government's response, but aren't we doing a pretty good job with COVID-19?
Well, I've offered constructive criticism where necessary and made helpful suggestions where possible. We've never said it's easy and that the government are all incompetent, but what we have said is that, let's face it, we're an island nation that's very spread out with a young population. We did start with some natural advantages. Then we say we went hard and went early. Actually, we're the 63rd country to get it. We say we have gold standard contact tracing, and yet one outbreak leads to 6 to 8 weeks of restrictions. I think we need to do better, and that means we need to get Taiwan smart so that we can maintain elimination with no more lockdown.
But you talk about Taiwan there. Didn't Taiwan do a good job because they allow the government to access their data through their phones? And is ACT comfortable with that here in New Zealand?
There's clearly going to be a trade-off between privacy and public health.
And you're prepared to make that trade-off?
Absolutely. It is very possible to protect people's privacy. You look at COVID card, for instance.
All right.
It doesn't store individualised data. So technology can actually have a win-win with privacy and
Mr. Peters,
health.
You were sitting at the top table. Is David Seymour right?
No, he's wrong. The reality is that New Zealand has done marvellously well, and the Prime Minister exceptionally, but it was an all-of-government experience with no playbooks or no manual. And we could have done things better, but overall, we've done marvellously. We must not get loose and get careless now. Look, France has gone into lockdown as we speak. Today, Scotland went into lockdown as we speak. These cavalier people who say there's nothing to fear, look around the whole world, 79,000 cases as we speak today in India, and think it's a small thing. We are fighting a battle against evil here. We can win, but we've got to be cohesive. At the same time, we can't be too careful so that we choke the economy and people die for other causes.
James Shaw, what do you make of David Seymour's comments around Taiwan?
Well, David is putting different sets of facts together. He says that we were the 63rd country to get it. That is true, but we actually went into lockdown when we had very few cases. That's what we mean when we're going hard and early, is the proximity to when you first, when it's first in the community in New Zealand. And so I do think that we've had an incredibly strong response. You know, there, as somebody was saying, there are fewer cases in New Zealand at the moment than there are in the White House. The COVID card that he's talking about is going to go through testing, and we do want to see if we can do that. But I find it extraordinary that a Libertarian Party that stands up for, the kind of freedoms that David keeps banging on about would be willing to countenance the idea that the government should be able to track people through their data on their phones.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, first of all, we've got to end the fear factory. We heard from Winston, he compares us to the worst. We've got to start comparing ourselves with the best. And it is possible to anonymise data in a way that you can detect people who have it, but not actually give their privacy away. It's not just that Taiwan did, though.
There's a number of things.
Well, he stumbled onto something that's right. I think the Morgan card, the app would have been far more appropriate, and I think we should have gone with it because far better people and far more
IT. Why didn't you then?
Can I just say, you were
at that top table.
Well, I wasn't. So if we stand around and try and blame everybody for the failures, then who's going to take the credit for the successes? I don't see you saying, Winston, it was bad that you were successful. But I want to make this point. We should have gone better with the app. We should have got the army in earlier, and we should have used masks much earlier. But having said that, we've done phenomenally well.
John Tummy.
We should have been better prepared. I think everyone agrees that.
One of privilege and entitlement to just say, bang, this is what we want, this is how it's going to go. And they're able to do that because they represent the rich and powerful who are very well looked after at the top end of town.
That doesn't explain why we invested in charter schools, put all our personal capital into schools.
Let him finish and I'll come back to you. John Tumheri, you finish and I'll come back to you.
Yeah, that's right.
You want to behave yourself. It's not all about that.
So the point is that it's his privilege and his entitlement. Comes out all the time.
All right, let him have a quick try to reply and then I'll come to you. Very, very quick.
Well, there's a rich irony. I'm not into assassinating people's character, but if you want to talk about my track record, I put all my political capital into charter schools so the most disadvantaged students could have opportunity to learn and ultimately feel good about them.
And you're on the record for that.
And there's no evidence they work.
Come and ask a question,
David.
You held a rally with thousands of people in level two. Was that responsible?
It was the right thing to do, because what these guys are not answering is what the long-term consequences of the government's decisions are. How many people have lost their businesses and will lose their businesses?
Was it responsible, though, to get a large crowd of people together when we were told not to?
It was because New Zealanders want to stand up to what's going on right now. What's going on is lockdowns at any cost, and the long-term consequences of the decisions that have been made by this government will be more people will lose their jobs, more people won't be able to pay the rent or the mortgage. Let me answer the question. More people
other countries
will lose their livelihoods
are having worse economic impacts
when they stayed open. He hasn't paid attention to the news at all.
Just quickly, across the other side of town, Māori TV is running a debate for Te Tai Tokirau. His party, 0% in the polling up there, right? There's no way that Mr. Advance over there is going to get anywhere. So our people
are
wasted vote over here.
How come you ask for our endorsement on Monday, John?
Mr. Peters,
can I just say, look,
you can.
Look, we were in the COVID-19 crisis, knowing that in 1918, the decimation of Māori, 8-9 times worse than Europeans, and possibly in South Auckland, another place where we're at Pacifica, would be terrible for our country. We fronted up to that fear, and others said that it was a hoax. I cannot believe any serious New Zealander would think that's the right
way to go. Very quickly, James Shaw.
We are the only country in the world where the death rate went down during a global pandemic. And to one of Jamie's points, actually, the suicide rate is down over the same time last year. So it's you should not believe everything you read on the internet.
I want to ask a question and put it to all of you about
this the definition of
their
party, isn't it?
Yeah.
Would you all
policy by YouTube?
And should it be compulsory? James Shaw, I'll start with you.
I would take it. We don't believe in compulsory vaccines in this country.
John Tumahiri.
Exactly the same.
Same position. Good agreement.
Same position.
Yep. Mr. Peter.
Everyone. Oh, God help us. We're all praying for it. Of course I'll take it.
And do you have a
compulsory
in the next
vaccinations
year,
don't work.
Is that
work.
What your thinking is?
Well, the problem is, look, we still haven't got a vaccine for HIV after 4 decades. But I hope in the modern context that we'll make it. But if we don't, we still cannot afford to actually demoralise and devastate our people by stupid, off-the-wall ideas.
Mr. Seymour, would you take the vaccine and should it be compulsory?
Well, I'd want to know that it was safe first, but yes, of course. And I don't think it should be compulsory. That's not something we believe in.
Jamie Lee Ross?
No, because I wouldn't take a rushed vaccine. The case fatality rate for the flu and COVID-19 are not too dissimilar.
That's a lie.
Over time, but
you can Google the World Health Organization.
The case fatality rate for the flu and COVID-19 around the world is roughly similar. Would
just
you lock down the
country? How do you feel about vaccines generally?
Look, my children are vaccinated, I'm vaccinated. It should be about choice. We should never have discrimination.
I mean, that's not the policy of your party and not the beliefs of some members of your party.
No, our party's view is that it should be about choice. There shouldn't be discrimination. We shouldn't take people's benefits away, which some parties around here want to do.
All right.
It should be about medical freedom.
Okay, well, thank you very much for all of those answers. Stay with us. Who has the best plan for the economy and who will inspire you with their ideas? That's up next.
Jessica's actually doing a very good job. I think she could have gone even harder on
Jamie Lee Ross.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, David Seymour has a point in that New Zealand wasn't prepared. But that's 2020 hindsight, right? I think everyone can look back and say that we weren't prepared for COVID. And that's been the fault of successive governments. You know, we had a public health commission that got shut down back in 1995 by National at the time. They were in charge of preparing us for that sort of stuff. So we haven't had anyone in charge of that for, 25 years now. That's been Labour, that's been National. Neither of them have sorted that particular issue. And it's always been a matter of when, not if, we'd get a global pandemic, right?
Like, that's true.
All of the experts say, look, we get one of these every 10 years and some of them are worse than others. So we should have a permanent, independent public health body that is ready and prepared for that sort of stuff. So ACT's right there, but they're saying it with 2020 hindsight. We've been saying it since 2017. So.
And no one listens to Top. But what is frustrating, and you mentioned this before, Jeff, is that, you know, these voices who say we can't keep doing these lockdowns, we just need to stay open because it hurts our businesses more. We have already got case studies overseas telling us what happens when you just stay open. You end up having a far worse health situation, which impacts your economy anyway. You just delay the pain.
People aren't going to cafes in Europe. They're not going out for dinner, not anywhere near the same amount that they used to do. You know, people are being conservative and staying at home, and that's because they're afraid of getting sick.
But the UK, the new cases there are just going through the absolute roof, and they're going to have to be closing down their bars. They've been restricting the hours, and they're just talking about even further restrictions. It doesn't work. The lockdowns. No one likes these lockdowns. The government does not like these lockdowns, but unless and until you can find a better option, we can look overseas and see that this is the best so far that
absolutely.
We know of.
Absolutely. And yeah, I mean, yes, we should be trying to learn off Taiwan and getting contact tracing. The one thing that no one talked about is getting our quarantine. We need to scale up our quarantine and get it out of our biggest economic centre. I mean,
exactly.
I'm amazed no one is talking about that. But that's a massive issue. Why are we bringing in people with, you know, potentially with this incredibly contagious disease and quarantining them in the middle of our biggest city?
It's actually madness. It is madness. And it should be something so easy just to get them out of our biggest economic hub. You're right. It is just crazy.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about this for some time now.
Yeah. I mean, this is what Dr. Ben Peters, our you know, science and innovation spokesperson, has been saying for some time. He's bang on there. And, you know, hopefully after the election, we'll see some action on that. But I'm really surprised that none of these parties are talking about it.
And to suggest that, you know, I said that David was being cute before because he wasn't being entirely honest in terms of the amount of information in Taiwan that the amount of privacy breaches that people in New Zealand would be uncomfortable with.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's just very picky and choosy what suits him at any given time is how I'm seeing that.
Absolutely.
And there are a lot of people who didn't even want to get our COVID tracer app because of concerns around privacy. Do you think those same people then would be happy to have the government just access their Google information effectively?
Mm.
Which is just a far bigger incursion. Anyway, so we are back.
Welcome back. COVID-19 is seen by many as an opportunity to do things better. So I'm going to ask all of the parties now about a new or innovative policy or idea that their party would bring to the table to try and speed up our economic recovery.
UBI.
So I'll start off with you. What's your pitch? What's your pitch to get New Zealanders excited or get voters excited?
Well, Jess, in every category of infrastructure, we had a historic underspend. It wasn't keeping up with population growth. You look at the pipes under our feet, our housing stock, our schools and our hospitals, every category of transport except for a few roads of national significance, we just weren't keeping up. And, you know, we were crowing about having a low debt to GDP ratio. What we need to do is to make sure that every dollar of the stimulus spend that we're putting towards the COVID recovery goes towards resolving those long-term challenges facing New Zealand, which is why we're asking New Zealanders to think ahead.
David Seymour, you don't want big spending in those areas, do you? You'd cut those.
Well, actually, our infrastructure plan is to structure infrastructure investment better over 30 years with a partnership between central and regional government. So infrastructure is important, but actually there's no silver bullet to economic redevelopment. What we need is for one New Zealander to offer another New Zealander a job hundreds of thousands of times. One way you can stimulate that is to cut GST from 15% down to 10% for a year.
The silver bullet line was actually one Mr. Peters used in the break there. Yeah,
it must have been, I must have subliminated.
Can I just say?
Well, a little bit of connection.
I must have got a silver bullet from the silver fox. I must have subliminally got it.
But, well,
but,
can
but,
I say?
Could I just finish
he's
it?
He's going to carry on talking, but he's speaking too long. GST was bought in by the first leader of the ACT Party and put up to 12.5% by the second leader of the ACT Party. And now he's asking us to believe he's going to take it down to 10%. Look,
sometimes
that's buying the sky stuff. And as for a silver bullet, I said it because, look, the biggest thing coming for us is how we handle debt. Debt, if it's for productivity, added value, wealth creation, exports, manufacturing, and jobs, fantastic. If it's for consumption and some of the big government socialist spend up that I'm hearing, then we are in for disaster.
Mr. Tamahiri.
Yeah, listen, whilst it's a good question,
about the quality of the infrastructure
our children can't participate in any economy.
72.
Well, 80% of them are in decile 1 to 3 schools. 70% of them will not pass with a qualification. That's not because they're dumb Māoris. It's not because they're silly. It's not because their parents don't love them and get them to school. It's because depending on where you go to school depends on whether you make it in any economy.
Idea?
In any economy.
So what's your innovative idea?
We want a resource.
People?
No. I'm not interested in the innovative ideas at this stage because we can't participate in the economy. Because the basic education system in this country does not get us work ready regardless of what it is. So what we've got to do in the Māori Party is just speak our truth, which is that we want our children educated the same as kids in decile 9 and 10 schools. And why is that wrong?
James Shaw, a question for you. Mm. Businesses are really struggling at the moment. When you look at the list of things that you want to do, you want to increase extend the living wage, boost annual leave by 5 weeks, increase sick leave for 10 days. Don't you need to give businesses a break at this time?
Well, the reason that we want to increase sick leave is because when you've got a global pandemic on, and we've actually seen this over the last 6 months, you have people who were refusing to go for testing or staying away from it because they were worried that if they got sent home that they wouldn't have a job to come back to. And so what we're saying is, like, right now is exactly the time when you actually need people to have those kinds of protections. And I think that the idea, when you've got, you know, a huge stimulation going on of the asset.
All right, we'll go to David Seymour and then we'll get your response.
I mean, that's a very good example of the kinds of costs being put onto business that make it harder for them to employ people. Extra public holidays, extra sick leave, putting up the minimum wage, more compliance, more tax. All of those things make it harder for people to create jobs and raise wages. Act says we should actually be reducing tax.
All right.
We should be allowing businesses to depreciate $150,000 off the bat, because
all
at
these,
the moment we have far too much expense.
All of these are irrelevant, David. Because all of them would continue with lockdowns and the border being closed. You can't grow an economy with our borders closed when we rely on tourism so much. We would look at more quantitative easing. That's important, and the US is doing it, Canada, the UK. These guys will all rack up more and more debt, and that's irresponsible.
Mr. Peters.
Just 2 nights ago, the Australian government, more akin to the ACT Party, far more akin to perhaps the National Party, when it was a common sense party, brought in a program against austerity, brought in a program to spend money to grow and to a larger debt to get out of this wealth.
And a few heads nodding with you.
Or recession trap they went. Tax
and so did the British.
Exactly,
so did the British. And along comes the Cyrus from the neoliberal experience of 35 years ago.
Yeah.
Spouting the same old rubbish.
You're are you getting that message across, though, Mr. Peters? Because, I mean,
yeah,
the ACT Party is sitting with 11 MPs.
Well,
I just can't believe Winston Peters is calling me out of date.
All with the training wheels on. Below him, you've got no idea what they intend to put on the backbench remotely in opposition, because they've got no chance of being in government.
All right, well, let's put that question to you, David Seymour. You want to introduce big spending cuts. You want benefit cuts. You want to get rid of the winter energy payment to freeze the minimum wage. Aren't these the people who are really hurting under COVID-19?
Not at all. We're taking benefit levels, for example, back to the level that they were at under Jacinda Ardern and Grant Robertson, and these guys, remember, for their first two budgets. If it's so bad, then we should blame them.
Hang on.
We have the wealth gap, the inequality gap in this country. We've got to set a new moral compass in this election to look after those more vulnerable. Because you know what? On deficit costs alone, 2 years of corrections costs more than all of the treaty settlements in the last 26 years. How dumb is that approach?
2 months of super.
From ACT.
About 3 weeks ago, the New Zealand Stock Exchange had a record historic high. House prices are up, house valuations are up about 15% on average around the country over the same time last year. And at exactly the same time, wage and salary earners saw the median wage drop by 7.5%. It was the first drop in recorded history. So the wage and salary earners on the one hand are getting squeezed. Assets and people with wealth and property on the other hand are
actually... And we'll talk more about that.
But what I'm saying is that David's completely incorrect when he said that it is the wage and salary earners who are doing fine. They are not doing fine.
One of the things that I want to talk about as well as superannuation. So I want to move on to superannuation. And this question for you, Mr. Peters.
Thank you very much.
You're most welcome. Is it responsible for us not to look at readjusting the criteria for super, given the climate that we're in and given that people are working far beyond 65 now?
Look, every time this country, long time before now, got into any sort of economic difficulty, they came straight for the young and the old, and be warned if you're...
But isn't it the younger generation that are hurting from superannuation?
No, I just said that. The reality is we are way below the international cost of superannuation. We're at about 4.4% of GDP. And here's the point. If you thought we should make all those changes, which are not huge, if you thought we should make all those changes, why did we allow 90,000 people under the former Labor and National governments to come into power, this is not now, but to come into this country after 10 years, get full super, whether they paid any tax or not. And they said, the Māori Party said, we should be going to the airport and giving them a forfeit.
Your response, Mr. Tamahiri?
No. Every time Mr. Peters has promised to curb immigration, it's gone through the roof.
Right? Kia ora, John.
That's point one. No, well, it has, because we've closed our borders. But prior to that, 2 years prior to that, went north. But
here's the thing,
where we're all riding. Okay, we've got to bridge the gap between the rich and the poor in this country. And you can't pull the ladder up just because you're at the top of it. When we went to housing with James here, you know, every year, it's just a casino where you can gamble and never lose.
I want to talk more about housing later. One question that I did want to reasonably swiftly canvass with you is, does New Zealand need to move faster on reducing its emissions, even if it causes economic pain in the short term?
No.
Why do you say no?
No, because the approaching the Brussels trading scheme and the climate policies, that actually costs the economy, costs jobs, all because we want to go after a nice goal. But actually, New Zealand's emissions are just like a day of China's. Yeah. We need to actually pull out of them.
James,
so much we can do.
The countries that have actually successfully reduced their emissions whilst growing their
so
economy have said that it has gone far faster and far cheaper than all of their most pessimistic modelling. The UK, up until Brexit, had the fastest growing economy in the G20 and also at the same time reduced its emissions by 40%. It is not, it's a total false dichotomy. A low emission economy is a high productivity, high wage, high innovation, high tech economy.
James.
And that, I mean, he has a point there. Well, agriculture is still part of the ETS. That's a failure, isn't it?
Agriculture is not. Yeah. No, it, just, no. So what we need to do is to have a farm level.
What I meant to say was not part of the ETS, is what I meant. Sorry.
Yeah, but what we are doing, and we're working in partnership with the agricultural sector, is to develop a system that farmers can use to measure all of all the sources of emissions and the sinks of emissions.
Good, a good sense of debate. I'm so sorry, Mr. Peters. We do have to go to a break. I will come back to you afterwards. Stay with us. Can we build back better? Is this an opportunity for New Zealand? That's next.
James is right about the false dichotomy.
Yes, absolutely. Although, you know, the Greens are still proposing a whole bunch of investments that would cost a lot and not reduce emissions very much, because, you know, things like solar panels on the roof of every state house and regional rail both have really poor business cases, but you know,
so they haven't listened to the expert evidence on that at all.
Neither Labor nor the Greens are actually listening to the expert evidence on the best way to reduce emissions. The experts said as soon as the Zero Carbon Act was passed, the very first report that the Climate Change Commission put out said that they should focus on reducing emissions from transport and from process heat. Don't worry about getting 100% renewable agriculture. What do Labor and the Greens do?
Bring it forward by 5 years.
Yeah, they double down on that target. So they're definitely, you know, focusing on the wrong things. They're chasing rainbows.
But they're focusing on things that are good headlines. People, you know, the general public are going to hear, oh, we're going to go to 100% renewable 5 years earlier. That sounds great. It does sound great, except it's just not what the experts have told us to do at all.
Yeah. What else was in that particular bit? I mean, David...
Axe terrible policies. They just want to cut. And the reality is that it's going to have huge social impacts that they're just either turning a blind eye to, or they blatantly do not care.
Yeah. I mean, there is an awful lot that needs to be done on the infrastructure front. But none of them are really talking about making sure that infrastructure money is well spent, you know. And that's because they've all got their pet projects that they want to do, right? They, you know, we talked about the Greens with their regional rail, New Zealand First with Northport and
National with their second bridge or second harbour crossing, however theirs is going to go.
Exactly. Every party's got their, you know, infrastructure pet projects, and that is preventing a conversation about how do we actually make sure that this post-COVID recovery spend gets spent in the best way possible for the long-term benefit of New Zealand. Again, debt isn't the problem, but quality of spending is, and that's the conversation that is completely missing from this debate.
People just get so excited about, let's just get shovel-ready projects going, let's just throw money around and that's going to solve it. Didn't matter that there wasn't business cases. It didn't matter that there wasn't always a good reason for a particular project. If it was ready to go, boom, go do it.
But actually, we do have shovel-ready projects that have a fantastic return on investment. It's just they're not sexy. It's, you know, like energy efficiency is the best example. Well, you know, we still have houses in this country that are cold and damp. And, you know, that fixing that is good for emissions and it's great for health. It has enormous returns. We have businesses in the same situation. We should be going into businesses, helping them invest in energy efficient appliances, making sure that they uptake digital technology so that they can get all of the wonderful productivity benefits that go along that.
Which is part of Top Small Business Plan.
Exactly.
Incidentally.
All of that stuff is easy. You could have it, you could roll it out tomorrow. It is shovel ready and we know it works because they've done it overseas.
But the problem is it's just not exciting, right? But it would work.
Welcome back. Even before COVID-19, New Zealand had some deep-seated problems that successive governments have failed to fix. So I want to start with housing, because yet again we're seeing house prices boom and young people wondering if they'll ever be able to afford a home. Now, Mr. Peters, I want to start off with you, and I'll put this to the rest of you as well. Would you ever look to introduce a policy that would bring house prices down?
Well, what we're going to do is stabilise things for a start. What we've got, the problem we've got is we inherited a massive problem of huge demand and very little supply.
Haven't stabilised things.
And although the Housing Corporation did great, and private industry's done great, we've built more since 1974 than ever before. We are way behind the demand ball still. So we need an inquiry into the cost of housing construction. We need a
a policy should be put in place, or would you ever support one to bring prices down? Because it's difficult, isn't it?
Well, if you want to bring prices down, I can tell you do it tomorrow. You put certain parties in government and the prices are going to come soaring down, but they will
What do you mean by that?
Well, the prices will come soaring down, but poor people or moderate income people will not be able to buy them. I mean by that, we were the most successful country in the world from the late 30s all the way to the 70s, and then we lost the plot on this matter. That's we can recover from it.
All right.
Back then it was much more cheaper
You've
to
never
buy
done anything
us, four times your annual income,
right.
And 30% of your weekend of the service.
Look, the Māori Party policy is pretty simple, right? You have to curb immigration to allow our demand to meet our supply requirements, right? He still brings in heaps of immigrants, right? Second thing is, you have to
Better late than never.
You have to tax the second.
But don't we need immigrants to fuel our economy? Isn't that what we need to do to
get
going?
Well, here's the thing. We get 300,000 temporary workers displacing our people all the time coming in. Slave labour. You've got 90...
I mean, we digress, because, I mean, in terms of, with Māori, they're overrepresented in the poor stats when it comes to home ownership. So what would your party do to get more Māori into homes, into owning their own homes?
I've just indicated that you have to change the policy settings. You have to put GST in, because the wage and salary earner is going nowhere. You've got assets that continue to increase and they're never
taxed. All right, let's hear over here.
Well, no one can afford to buy a home when they can't have a job because of their COVID economic policies. What we need to do is flood the market with supply, rip up the RMA.
All right.
We'd go with a shared equity scheme as well.
David Seymour.
Look, first of all, this is actually a real problem. You know, 30 years ago, the poorest New Zealanders spent a quarter of their income on housing costs. Now it's over half. And if you want to know why we have kids living in cars and garages and don't have enough money, that simple fact is the biggest single problem we have if we want a more equal New Zealand. So it's a problem
that needs
to be
solved. And you have no policy to address that.
You've also got to ask how you solve it. It's simply too hard to build homes. We need the next generation.
And we've canvassed that a lot.
No, we haven't.
Enough left.
We need the next generation to be able to build like the boomers. And that means better infrastructure funding.
All right, Mr. Peters and then Mr. Peters.
The housing crisis started under his first party leader, Roger Douglas. That's what happened.
All right. And that's on the record, Mr. Peters.
Because of the tax system.
And then we had to bring in family support to prop up a failed economy. Nope. And they're still preaching that sort of language.
All right, they what's your response?
Everybody here has agreed that we do need to build more housing supply. The one way to do that is to ensure that actually we build more state houses. You can actually bring down the median house price by ensuring that you're getting more supply at the bottom end of the market. That is what we're committed to doing. We think that we can build about 5,000 houses a year over the next few years.
The state shouldn't be the solution to everything.
The response.
All right. I want to touch on John's point,
we can have papa kāinga housing, and actually I think that this kāinga order can do a great deal to support both community housing providers, iwi,
The reality is, if the rules aren't right, you can't
But we want to make sure
land,
that those community housing providers
state or
are supported.
You've got to get those
there isn't the land to develop.
All right. I want to, and I'll just remind you, we can't. No, the audience at home can't hear if we talk over each other, but I want to move on to a different topic. And John Tamahere, central to your party is to have Māori problems solved by Māori.
Correct.
Do we need a separate system? Is that the best way?
No, not a separate system. The way people pitch that one is, I remember when I took my baby into Koangareo, and my mates, Pākehā mates, good mates, said to me, why are you separating from us? Why are you putting your baby into Koangareo? No, I said to them, no, you separated me from my culture and my language and who I am in the land of my ancestors. So what non-Māori Pākehā people have to understand is, don't separate us from our ability to get out of grinding poverty, to manage ourselves out of welfareism and into employment.
What's your response, Mr. Peters? Do we need to try something different?
Look, my response is this, and there's been no organisation in this country where you've seen the lack of separatism and the sense of unity as our army. And Robert Muldoon once asked General Pōnanga, the head of the army, where many Māori have got to the top, not like any other profession, but in the army they have, he asked, how many Māori have you got in the army? Pōnanga's answer is still relevant today. He said, Mr. Prime Minister, we just have soldiers in our army.
So encouraging Māori to join up to the army?
No. I'm saying...
I'll make the point
of the same one. The last thing I need is you to speak for me.
Well, you need help.
I mean, you haven't been around long enough, but here's the point here. The truth of the matter is that separatism and division in this COVID-19 crisis is the last thing we want. Cohesion's critical. All if right. we start giving out wealth on the basis of race, we're heading for disaster.
David Seymour, what did you want to add in there?
Oh, just that housing policy is worth talking about, and it is about replacing the RMA with an Urban Development Act that prioritises
free
and
open. Yeah, we've heard
that. Oh, we heard that.
Well, not everyone has, Jess, and it's worth talking about. It is about an infrastructure policy that coordinates central and local government to get it built, and it is about getting councils out of building
too.
Inspections and because they created leaky buildings
exactly
and they're hopeless. That's not true at all,
James.
You guys have had 3 years and done nothing to
it.
Why didn't you do it? Rule only.
So we had the Tony Grandison review, which gave us the guidance on how to do it. And now that we've gone through that process, we'll be moving on it as soon as we form a government.
Why was it not a priority?
It is a priority.
But why was it not able to be achieved in those 3 years?
Well, because the RMA is an astonishing complicated act. It's at least twice the length that it was when it was written back in 1990.
Yeah.
And we wanted to make sure that we did a really good
Labor
job of it. That's
9 years
why
in
we got Tony Grandison QC to
work.
Lead that review of it and to provide Parliament with some guidance.
I was really trying not to focus too much on the RMA, but here we are.
It's unavoidable.
What I want to do, you're right, it is unavoidable. What I want
ask
to ask is a swift question again at the back of this. Should private schools get government funding? James Shaw.
Our government has said no.
John Tom Heddy?
No. Well, he said the green school is private. It should get government money. But we believe that, of course, private schools should get government money because if we were to put them all into the state, the cost would be prohibitive right now. This is not practical talk.
All right.
Well, the schools you're talking about are the integrated schools, which are private schools,
that's
but
right.
They form part of the
state.
Yeah,
hey, can we get
David Seymour, your swift response?
The students' parents pay tax like everyone else, so of course they should. An ex-student education account policy would let you take your share of the education
Green
funding
is good.
To your school
Another
of your
interesting
choice,
policy.
Public or private.
And now Jamie Lee Ross.
We need to support state integrated schools more and those schools like charter schools, which do take people out of the public system. They actually save taxpayers' money.
Excellent. We'll pause there. Final questions for our candidates after the break.
So there, across the whole spectrum, we've got a good chunk of TOP's housing policy.
Divided into bits.
So,
Jeff, you should have been there. Like, I'm just sitting here, everyone, and I don't know about you if there are some hardcore TOP supporters watching this right now, and you probably are screaming as well, just like I was in my head, hearing them talk about housing, and none of them actually have all of the pieces of the puzzle that we need to fix this huge crisis. And
yeah.
None of them even spoke about it as a crisis.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is the thing, like, it is the number one driver of poverty, and everyone's focused on sorting out the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff, fixing the welfare system and all that sort of stuff. Housing is what's causing the problem. Housing's what's increasing living costs. That's why everyone's wanting to lift the minimum wage. That's why the poor are struggling harder. Anyway, so yeah, Greens talking about social and community housing. Good work there. That's nice. Winston talking about building supplies, the cost of building mm-hmm. supplies and the monopoly that is held over it by Fletchers and Carters. That's another piece of the puzzle that we need to sort out. Fantastic.
Part of TOP's policy.
ACT talking about infrastructure funding, which is good to see.
Not sure where they're getting it from, though.
No, that's TOP
Where's
party
that
policy.
Magically
yeah.
coming from? That's something people should ask ACT.
And also they're talking about RMA reform. The big question around ACT and around National with that is, they tend to go for the easy option, which is sprawl. But we need to build up. Labor are focusing on building up, but there are some, there's been some problems with how they've implemented that too, because they're not doing the infrastructure funding too. If you build up, you need to invest. So Labor really need that. You need all the pieces of this puzzle to sort it out, right? And then lastly, tax. And the only person there talking about tax was John Tomahedi of the Māori Party.
So he's only talking about second homes and third homes.
Yeah, and the family home is 75% of the value of New Zealand's housing stock. It is the biggest tax loophole that we have in terms of the difference between how we tax other forms of investment and how we tax housing, particularly the family home. That gap is the biggest in the world here in New Zealand. No wonder everyone puts so much money and investment into, particularly into their family homes. So all of those things together, if you did all of them, then we could solve the housing crisis.
And again, Jeff, you should have been there tonight.
At the moment, they're all just picking off little bits that fit with their ideology.
But also, they're just picking off the easy things. Like, who's going to really fight? You know, the industry, the building industry in general, is not going to fight against this idea to fix competition laws. You know, they're not annoying anyone. They're picking all the things that they can still buy votes with and not annoy any voters and disgruntle anyone.
Certainly not anyone in their base, yeah.
And they're not, they just don't have the courage to tackle this problem head on. They are all cowards, to be honest with you.
Mm.
And it's incredibly frustrating. And I've found this in going around debates around this area regionally, and they don't have the courage to talk about this. But the question genuinely is as simple as, if people want to fix the housing crisis, yes or no?
Yeah. And, you know, there is, you know, increasing rhetoric coming out of Labor and New Zealand First about stabilising housing prices, but I really do not see any plan to do that.
Well, they don't, and Labor has direct policies that'll just make it worse.
Yeah.
And we're not back yet?
We're almost back.
Premature.
Yes. Absolutely. If anything, things look set to get worse between quantitative easing with Labor's tax changes, which of course increase that gap between the treatment of housing and other assets. Yes, it all looks set to get worse under the next government.
But James Shaw's suggestion that we can make housing affordable by focusing on state houses is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's part of the solution, but yeah.
Welcome back. This is our final section, so I want to keep things moving. So we'll have some quick answers to these questions, hopefully.
Good luck
with
that, Jessica.
The first question I want to ask, and I'll start with you, Mr. Shaw. Do you think that we should have quotas for Māori and Pacific students when it comes to med school?
I do think that if you do that, then it's actually an obligation to go out and find students. And I think actually we do need to bring more Māori and Pacific into the system.
Yeah, I was at university when we campaigned to get a quota system in. And the reason for that is that we come from poor schools, and so we're not ripe enough to get the type of grades to get entry. But here's the beauty about it. Our failure rate, once we get entry, is extraordinarily low. And so if you want equity in this country and you want equality in this country, that's what we have to have.
Do you agree with quotas, Mr. Peters?
Teach them properly at preschool, primary school and secondary school, and you wouldn't need that sort of talk.
Quotas don't sit comfortably with you?
Well, the fact is that this tokenism, how does a Māori feel because he's there, because somebody said, you're in a different category, you can't learn fast enough.
The Pākehā's got
there. Well, the Pākehā's, all three got there, not on a quota. They became lawyers. Avra Nangata got his degree in law in 2 years. Stop putting Māori down. Teach them properly at preschool, secondary school.
All right, you have seen that. Mr. Shaw, jump in here.
But it's not actually a function. I mean, they are being taught by good teachers in good schools. It's a function of the socioeconomic background that people have.
And who taught their parents?
Proves that over and over again, that you need to take care of people's housing, of their incomes, of the context with which they're being educated.
All right, I want to switch topics to China, and I will come to you, Jamie Lee Ross, for this one as well. Is New Zealand too dependent on China, and do we not call China out enough about its human rights issues?
No, we don't. We were one of the last countries to call China out over COVID-19, and too much overseas money flows into our politics. That corrupts the political system. What we do, and what we've also done, is we've put too many eggs in the China basket. We need to expand our trade agreements to our more traditional trading partners.
All right.
And I think we also need to come down hard on China and not be afraid of them, like so many people on this panel have been in the past.
Mr. Peters, what do you say to that?
Jamie Ross and I have seen the level of money in the connections, the wiring diagrams to China, and I don't see it in the media, and I don't see it in the serious fall office. I think this is catastrophically bad. Second, of course we've got too much dependence of one market, and they walked into without, New Zealanders did, and government said without their eyes wide open, they were always going to be outsmarted by the Chinese. Don't blame the Chinese, blame our past leadership,
who didn't have the presence of mind to understand where they're going.
But to be fair, as current foreign minister.
But I've called them out on the Uyghurs. I've called them out when it comes to the Spratly Islands. I've called them out all around the world where that's been wrong. No, and they've made numerous complaints about me, but I've kept my country's independence. That's new now, but it wasn't that way before I got the job.
Look, when Winston has warned the Chinese, their knees are really knocking, aren't they? I mean, for goodness sakes, they're an outstanding and huge economy, and we need to trade with it. It's as simple as that. And it shouldn't be racial. See, this is Trumpism starting to play out.
You've got to be very careful
Jamie Lee Ross, what do you say to that?
No. Well, I say that John Tamahiti doesn't care about the Māori who miss out because of the way in which we approach the Chinese government. We should actually be looking at more trade agreements with the UK, with the US. We should be looking at how we can expand those opportunities. We're not taken seriously enough as a country anymore because of our dependence on China.
I do want to move on to another topic. When the Queen dies, is it time for New Zealand to become a republic? Mr. Tamahiri, thumbs up from you.
Oh, look, God bless the Queen and all that stuff, but it's about time. But it's about time. She lives 12,000 miles away. For goodness sakes, the closest I've ever come to is licking a stamp, the back of her head on a stamp. So you know, the point is that we are in sovereign peoples now. We're old enough to actually embark on our own conversation.
David, what's your take on this?
Well, look, it's a horrible thing to say. I hope she's not thinking of us dying. I would say that's probably a long way down the list of priorities for New Zealand right now. I wouldn't mind coming back to China, though, because that is important. We have become heavily dependent economically on China. The CCP is an organisation that does not share many of our values. We are going to have to very carefully pivot away from that dependence by diversifying our trade and investment. Well, they're your mates too, mate.
Mr. Peterson,
the National Party took them there when they were warned. So did Helen Clark in 2008 when we said, you're going to have to get a far better deal than that would be satisfactory. But on the question of the monarchy, look, when you're going for a vote in the UN, you're halfway there to get 150% by just having the Commonwealth on your side. But it's not what I and any of these guys think, because temporary and power anyway.
All right.
It's what the people think in a two-year referendum.
So President Peters?
Well, now you're going to find out how expensive a presidency could be. That should be told to the general people as well.
All right. I do want to ask you all a final question, since we're all gathered in this room. Out of the people here, who would each of you be able to work with? Jamie Lee Ross, I'll start with you.
Well, I think we're taking a lot of Winston's voters, so there's a lot of similarity there. Yeah. But look, he's smart on China, but this government and past governments haven't done enough on it.
So who could you work with here?
Oh, look, I think they're all reasonable people.
Would any of you work with Jamie Lee
Ross? We actually need a government that doesn't continue to lock people down, doesn't continue to close the borders.
Mr. Peters, none of them will do that.
But I don't want to close this serious debate when we were locked out of the other leaders' debate, don't forget, with a talk about who we're going to talk to here.
But it's really important who you're going to work with.
I'd like to close by saying how critical this vote is for this country, because it's a chance. If you make the wrong mistake.
Okay, if you're not keen to answer the question, that's okay. Mr. Seymour, who would you work with?
To be quite frank, they have to be in Parliament, and only James, who's teetering on the edge, is going to be on your poll tonight.
Oh dear.
ACT can work with National, we've done it before. We can't work with Labor, because frankly, there's a skill shortage in the Labor caucus. We can't rely on the people who gave us Kiwi Bill to rebuild out of this crisis.
The makeup here, because on those numbers, there's only two people in Parliament. In terms of the 5% threshold.
Excuse me, don't predicate the question on a false poll.
The 5%.
Don't predicate the question on a false poll.
I'm trying to get to the question, Mr. Peters. The 5% threshold, do you think it should be lowered?
No.
Why is that? Can you explain?
I've always believed, and we're the only party that said that, it was a new party. If you can't make 5%, you don't deserve to
Is anyone feel uncomfortable with the 5% threshold?
Yes.
It's too high. Why do you?
Well because there's two elections going on this election, every election, 7 Māori seats and the general seats. We, as you know in the polling, the polls are about Pākehā preference. It's got nothing to do with Māori, right? So we don't feature anyway. So what people have to understand is that so long as we keep these seats, there's going to have to be a different number for Māori to get coattailing going on.
And James Shaw.
The 2012 review by the Electoral Commission said we should lower it to 4%, and we agree with the Electoral Commission. It was Judith Collins who killed that off because it didn't suit her party's interests at the time.
All right, well, we've still got a few more days of campaigning to go, but let us leave it there. Thank you to all of the parties for joining me tonight. I really appreciate your time.
It is the end.
We're now 9 days till Election Day, although many of you have been getting in early to vote. I'll be back in a week for the final leaders' debate between Jacinda Ardern and Judith Collins. If you're undecided, this will be a chance for you to make up your mind. Thank you for the team here in the studio and in the control room. Good night.
Really quick on that last thing, if you're undecided, this will be a chance for you to make up your mind if you watch a debate between only Labour and National. That's what she just told you. She just basically said, you can make up your mind between the two parties that us, the media, are telling you to pick between, and no one else.
She did do a pretty good job, actually, I think.
She did.
So that conversation about China was pretty fascinating. I mean, all of them saying we need to diversify, but none of them have actually got a plan to diversify our economy.
How rich is it for Jamie Lee Ross to say there's too much Chinese influence? And he is before the courts on a serious fraud charge for not declaring, the way in which they structured payments from people associated with the Chinese Communist Party. So for him to now say that it's a concern is unbelievable, actually.
Yeah. And I mean, Winston's been banging the drum of diversifying our economy for 30 years. He's achieved nothing, been in government 3 times and achieved nothing on that front. So that's pretty rich as well. I mean, we need to cut our dependence on housing, start actually investing in businesses that create jobs and exports, and we need to start commercialising all those great ideas that we have, and that's all about our innovation policy, if you want to check that out.
Now, that was your chance, really. That's the only one you're going to hear now from those particular parties. Do you feel more informed? Genuine question. Do you feel more informed? Because I don't. If I wasn't here voting for Top, I don't know which of them I would vote for because I barely understood any of their policies. How is this helping democracy? How can you all now go away and make an informed decision if you were wanting to vote for any of them? None of their policies got fleshed out. More importantly, none of the consequences of their policies got fleshed out. And they spoke about housing for a matter of minutes, and it is one of the biggest issues facing this country.
So how would we summarise things from those people? We got Jamie Lee Ross, don't shut down the economy.
Just let it go rampant, yep.
Yep. Let COVID go rampant. We've got David Seymour, cut, mm-hmm. pretty much. Let's
to hell with the consequences.
Yeah, austerity at all costs. Let's balance the budget. Winston Peters, pretty much nothing. I mean, I don't think he actually said...
What was any of his policies tonight?
No, he didn't say anything, really. It's basically he's advertising himself as a handbrake on growth. John Tamahere, I mean, making it, he actually made a reasonable case.
He made
case
a number
for,
of good points, actually.
Yeah, effectively, it's that whole whānau first push that they're making, that Māori need to be given control of the services that affect them, which is fair enough. And lastly, James Shaw, who, managed to hit his key messages, at least poverty and climate change, but didn't really talk about any detail.
No, we didn't talk about his GMI, we didn't talk about his wealth tax, which would be terrible for businesses, so he got away scot-free on that, I think.
Yeah, but I guess, that's the depth of debate in our modern democracy. So, folks, there you go, that's the minor party leaders' debate. We weren't there, but we are rising in the polls, so keep sharing, keep talking about things. Let's keep moving towards Election Day, because we are getting momentum, and thanks again to all the volunteers that are keeping the Top machine rolling, because without you, we wouldn't be able to do this, and we're getting some incredible results on social media. Don't know if you've seen, but top on YouTube and third on Facebook behind Labour and National. They are spending millions of dollars, 10 times our budget. And yet we
literally more than 10 times our budget, actually.
Yeah. And yet New Zealand First and Greens and ACT are way outspending us too, but we are kicking their butts on Facebook. So thanks to all the people out there who are doing the mahi, and thanks to everyone who's engaging and sharing and commenting and talking about TOP. And we're at 2%. Just remember, if you all go and tell a friend, and then we can make 5% on the day. And even if Jessica wins in Ohariu, that would be, even on current polling, that would be 3 MPs. We'd be in Parliament,
Shai. Yeah, we'll be there. That's right.
We'll be able to afford a nicer couch.
We will be there. It is, as Jeff says, we are building and growing every single day. We are just doing so incredibly well, and it's all because of each of you. So go out and convince one more friend tomorrow to vote TOP, and we can seriously be there. It is that doable. So thank you so much for joining us this evening, and we will see you all soon.
Ka kite anō.
If you enjoyed that and you're hungry for more, check out top.org.nz for lots of delicious and detailed evidence-based policy, as much as you can eat.